With this 3-year ban that the United Kingdom's government, as led by Cabinet Office Minister Jacob Rees-Mogg, has instituted against Bain & Co. will be retrospective from the 4th of January. We spoke a bit about that 2022. We spoke about that yesterday. And is quite a blow, I guess, to a company that relies a bit on government business. The question, of course, is given the fact that the ban is on the basis of what has been found through testimony from the likes of my next guest, Athol Williams, and pressure from the likes of Lord Peter Hain of the House of Lords, whether that will actually also apply in South Africa, whether our government actually has the wherewithal and the confidence to hold a company accountable in this particular way. Let's kick off by speaking with Athol Williams and getting his reaction to this news. Athol, it's been quite a journey, very difficult one, personally, professionally, as a former employee of Bain & Co. speaking out. You definitely came under the fire of a campaign against you. And of course, as always, we're speaking to you from outside of South Africa, which is a condition forced upon you. What does this banning represent for you?
Good morning, Rufilwe. It's a positive step in the direction of justice, but it certainly doesn't represent justice in my mind. I think it's such a profoundly powerful statement, though, that the UK government has described Bain's behaviour that they are guilty of grave professional misconduct. Now, this is important if we compare it to Bain's narrative, right? So whenever Bain dismisses and denies everything, they're always claiming two things. One, they're claiming they made mistakes, which is complete nonsense. But secondly, they're saying we did nothing illegal. Now, of course, we have to wait for the courts to decide if Bain's done anything legal or not, although the Zondo Commission did describe their behavior as unlawful. What I've been saying for the last 3 years is that Bain have been acting unethically, and there has been professional misconduct. And so I find this ruling very encouraging because it means it's the third independent party now, where the Nugent Commission, the Zondo Commission, now the UK government, when they look at the facts of what Bain did, they come to the same conclusion that Bain are guilty of misconduct, of acting unethically, and of colluding to destroy our democratic institutions.
And yet, those first two institutions, you know, have not seen through to consequence on the basis of those statements, that they acted unlawfully or colluded in the clearest example of state capture. What do you know about whether or not Minister Jacob Rees-Mogg is in touch with his counterparts here in South Africa?
I think it's an indictment on our government that nothing has happened. We had the Nugent Commission 4 years ago. I think our government has been embarrassed by what the UK government has done. I mean, I think this is quite a slap in our face in the sense that something bad has happened on our patch, and yet someone else is going out of their way to punish the perpetrators when we let them off scot-free. So I don't know if Minister Rees-Mogg's been in touch with his counterpart. I certainly, my sense is there's no one in the South African government who has the will to do this. They've been looking at the same facts for 4 years now and done absolutely nothing. And to take that a step further, the South African government continues to refuse to engage with me. Not a single person, from the president down to the most junior person in any department in government, has contacted me wanting information, wanting to clarify something, or even to check how I'm doing as the whistleblower acting for the good of my country. In stark contrast to the UK government, who have met with me, they've asked the tough questions, they had follow-up questions, they asked for email, the documents, major engagement to get to the facts, something that's been absent in my mind from the South African government.
We have heard from Acting Director General of National Treasury, Ismail Momoniet, who's called upon companies in private sector as well as South Africa to ban the work of Bain & Co. Obviously, with his oversight within Treasury, seems to be the appropriate South African counterpart who has spoken up. And he says, you know, what they did at SARS, in my view, he said yesterday evening, what they did at SARS is akin to treason. And it's interesting because I like the fact that he pulls in not just the government, but companies that do business with Bain as well, and who simultaneously also want to do business with government. There is a look through here that almost needs to be applied, isn't there?
Well, firstly, Rafil, where Mr. Momaniyat keeps calling on others to do something, yet he does nothing himself, right? I can call on people to do things because I have no power to do anything about it. Mr. Momaniyat is actually the person in government who can do something. So him calling on others to act for me rings hollow. The National Treasury must start, like the UK government has, by setting an example. It isn't about just punishing Bain from government work. This isn't the issue. The issue is a government looking at a company saying, you acted unethically, you acted to attack our democracy, the very institutions of our democracy, and for that, we are going to ban you from working with us. That ban from the government should have such massive moral weight that it then compels everyone else to not do business with them. That's what Minister Rees-Mogg has done. The financial impact to Bain of this ban directly is going to be small, but the knock-on effect is going to be massive. And that's what Minister or Interim DG of National Treasury seems to be missing. The question to him has to be, why is he not issuing a ban on Bain?
And I suppose one could do that via the PFMA one way or another, or some form of procurement, blacklist, I suppose, within Treasury that would block them.
Yeah, and it exists. There are lots of companies on their blacklist that exists. Mm. We can check it today, and Bain's name will not be there. That's purely in National Treasury's power. I think the point you also asked earlier was around the private sector, and I think it's an absolutely important point. Because the private sector in South Africa has been propping up Bain. Sasol right now is spending hundreds of millions of rands with Bain. And for me, I find that astounding. If it's treason that Bain committed, then what is Sasol committing? We should call the CEO of Sasol, the board of Sasol, to account here. Because they are saying to South Africa, you guys can worry about corruption and worry about, say, capture. We're getting on with our business and hiring the very people who committed these crimes against our country.
Mm. There are other ways as well. I suppose investors, for example, could put pressure on those on that board. There's a lot of complicity, is it, that's happening here in South Africa in many of our silence. But thank you for not being silent, Athol. This is a very big move, and we really hope that we see it come play through in the courts as well. Thanks a lot. Athol Williams joining us there, looking at the decision by the UK government to ban Bain & Co. from doing business with them for 3 years on the basis of this grave professional misconduct in South Africa, but South Africa not necessarily following suit. What do we need to do? 021-446-0567.